Hey there, this is David Fitzgerald, the author of Jesus Mything in Action, and you're listening to The Canadian Atheist.
Just on the question of fine-tuning, I have a number of responses. We have to postpone some of the naturalistic questions for later, when I know they'll come up again. You mentioned Edwin Hubble and the way that he saw the red light shift and saw that the universe was not just expanding, but expanding very fast away from itself, that the Big Bang had not stopped. Lawrence Krauss, great physicist, probably the next Nobel Prize winner, has noticed that most of people's assumption was wrong, that though this expansion was taking place, it was thought, the rate of speed of the expansion must surely be declining. People still think in Newtonian terms in this way. No, says Krauss, he's pointed it out and now it's agreed by all. No, the Hubble rate of red light shift is increasing. The universe is dissipating itself at high speed, and the speed is getting greater. What does this mean? Well, it answers the question of why is there something instead of nothing? Because now we have something. We're all here because there's something. And nothing is coming right for us. Very soon, a physicist wouldn't be able to tell the Big Bang had ever taken place. So far sprung apart will the whole system be. And meanwhile, look in the sky at night, and you can see the Andromeda Galaxy headed straight for ours on a direct collision course. Who designed that? Who made it certain that every other planet in our solar system is either too hot or too cold to support life, as is most of our own planet, and that in just one tiny, irrelevant solar system already condemned to heat death and implosion? Some design, wouldn't you say?
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Friday, August 14th, 2020. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
I am T-Jump.
Oh, yeah, look, you just fucking jumped right in there. He didn't even hear me. He didn't even wait for my intro. So for everybody who's wondering, we do have a guest tonight. Fuck you. I'm going to do your intro anyway. I wrote a nice intro, and damn it, I'm going to read it. Okay, so joining us today is someone who, after listening to a lot of different forums that he's on, like his own channel stuff, which we'll discuss later, plays up modern day debate. This is a man who possesses a not insignificant amount of knowledge in lots of different areas, which baffles me a lot because I'm only smart about like maybe one thing, but this guy's smart about a lot of stuff. These fields included, but are not limited to, philosophy, biology, cosmology, and lots of other shit. He runs his own YouTube channel. He's on Discord a lot, and now he's here. Tom, welcome to The Canadian Atheist.
Thanks. Yeah, that was kind of spontaneous. Wasn't expecting you to do the I am intro. Man, if you had given me like 5 more seconds, I would have come up with I am Groot. It would have been perfect.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would have been perfect, yeah. Instead, you fucked it up.
Yep, I did. But you're right, I'm an expert in lots of shit. I love the lots of shit field. That's my favorite field of all fields.
Yeah.
Lots of shit, lots of other shit.
It's really interesting. Okay, so but before we get into too much, the first thing that I have to ask you, if for anyone who isn't familiar with what I'm about to say, what you want to do is go onto YouTube, and we'll talk about Tom's channel in a second because you're going to subscribe to that. But I want you to go to Modern Day Debate, who we've talked to. James has been on here, and you all know James. And you want to look up the last debate, and the picture for it is just says Debate Wars, where Tom is on Luke Skywalker's body, and this really interesting person named Godless Girl is on Leia's body, which is an insult to Princess Leia. But what the fuck happened on that debate, Tom? Jesus titty fucking Christ. You had, and I'm not doing this, and everybody, this is our first time chatting, so you don't really know me, but I'm not stroking anything, least of all your ego. You showed up to debate. You had a reasonable opening, and you were ready to discuss things. And I would say that on the other side, Smokey Saint, who I'm not a big fan of, everybody knows that, was kind of. And then there were the others, Godless Girl and whoever the fuck that other guy was, who's just a Poe. I mean, he is nobody serious. He can't be serious. What the fuck happened?
Yeah, I have no idea. So I didn't set that up at all. I was just invited to be a part of it. And the selling point was Godless Girl is going to be my partner, and that's just going to bring lots of internet drama. And, well, boy, it did. It succeeded at that. We had, like, the endless screeching combined with just the most incoherent rambling from the other guy. Like, wow, he called me a magic wizard.
Yeah.
Magic wizard words.
Magic wizard words.
I use any word that has more than three syllables. He's like competing with Donald Trump for the dumbest understanding of English comprehension imaginable. Yeah. And then that gibberish combined with the Godless Girl screeching. Anytime she doesn't understand anything, she's going to yell at you and say, that doesn't make any sense to me. And just the loudest screechy voice ever. So every time he said something, she would yell that.
Yeah.
At him or and Smokey at the same time.
Yeah.
And then Smokey would just laugh as he usually does, because he can't really respond to arguments very well. So he just laughs whenever he hears something he doesn't really like.
And yeah,
that
well,
was just, yeah. We just put that on cycle, just a rewind the entire time. You got incoherent gibberish, screeching, laughing, and then that was just go through that pattern for 2 hours, and that was the debate.
It was pretty interesting. Smokey, the other thing that Smokey's really good at is, so we did, not we, so myself and Religion is Bullshit, RIB, we were on Modern Day Debate for three, we did three debates with Maddox and Smokey. And the last one was on Christian versus secular morality, where I learned that I'm anti-Semitic and racist and a rape apologist. I wasn't aware of these three things. But because if you have, I mean, I know you're probably super busy, but if you get a chance, at least go back and watch round three on the morality one. The reason it was so interesting was because we were talking about Christian morality. So of course I brought up the Bible, but and you love logic and philosophy and stuff like that. So this was Smokey's argument. Because I don't believe the Christian God exists, therefore, I hate Jews. Therefore, I'm anti-Semitic.
Makes perfect sense. Sounds like great Smokey logic.
Yeah, that was his argument. And then, of course, and then somehow he became racist. And then somehow, both Rib and I were rape apologists. So that was pretty interesting.
But, yeah, I think that's the standard form of a Smokey argument right there, is that he tries to make a terrible argument, and then you point out it's a terrible argument, and then he just calls you a racist, and that's kind of how it works for Smokey.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
How does he go from not believing Christ to hating Jews?
Well, because because I don't believe the Christian God exists, therefore I'm angry and I'm mad at the culture of ancient Egypt. And you know, and stuff like that. So there are lots of Jews there. Therefore, I hate Jews.
Oh, okay.
That's the best I could glean off of that. Okay. So Tom, you've managed. This is a very well kept secret until now. But maybe information exists somewhere. But I don't know. We don't know anything about you. What your background is, and stuff like that. So, as I said in the opening, one of the things that has really flabbergasted me is how you've gone on channels like Modern Day Debate, and you know, I've listened to your Discord stuff as well, and you know, talked to all these different people, and you know a fuck ton about a lot. It's kind of crazy. So, I mean, are you like? Are you just a genius, or are you, if you just spent your entire life in school, or what's the deal?
Yeah. When you have no friends or family or close relationships for most of your life and you have nothing to do but study philosophy, you kind of happen to learn a lot of stuff, unfortunately.
Wow. Now I feel like a shithead.
It's okay. You can make me feel better by just give me a large donation to my Patreon. It would be good.
We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna pimp that out. We're gonna pimp that out for sure. So you've clearly studied a lot of philosophy. It's one of the things that It's one of the things that I've admired about you, because I am the epitome of a layman. I have a Philosophy for Dummies book, quite literally. And I've been trying to go through and learn some of this stuff, but it makes my brain hurt a lot. And I was talking to your dad, Steve McRae, about this stuff. That's a not really an inside joke, but if you watch Modern Day Debates, you'll get that joke. And he between you and him, actually, you were the ones who turned me on to the fact that I need to be more educated about philosophy and some of these arguments and the people that I'm speaking to. And so outside of philosophy, but I mean, you can do the same thing with cosmology. Like, you'll sit and talk about, you know, cosmology, and you can do the same thing with biology too. So, like, what is your, like, how many degrees do you have hanging on the wall?
I don't have any degrees, actually. I never went to college for a degree plan. I only audited classes that were interesting to me, that I thought were useful. So I spent all my time researching the things that I could use in what I was pursuing and doing at the time. And I ended up learning a whole bunch of things about these different fields. And that was where how I got my knowledge. I never really went for a degree because I was never interested in getting a job with the degree. And so it was kind of, I didn't want to waste the $80,000 when I could just get all of the same education for like a fifth of the price just by auditing the classes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. So then.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Then that's pretty good. And if I wasn't so fucking old, maybe I'd do that. Okay. So you brought up, you didn't want to get a degree for a job. So what, I mean, other than YouTube, what do you do for a living? Or is that your thing?
YouTube is my full-time job right now.
Wow.
I haven't had a real job in 10 years or something like that.
That's amazing.
So I work three jobs for long hours, saved up a bunch of money, stopped working, and then picked up YouTube pretty much.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I do donate plasma. Plasma gives me like $400 a month extra, but I really do it because it burns 600 calories, so it's an easy way to lose weight.
Wow.
It's just like a pint of blood and they extract the plasma from it, or?
Yeah, they just use a centrifuge and spin it around because the plasma has a different density than the red blood cells, and so it separates it, and then just take the plasma out, give you the blood back, and you're done.
They give you the blood back?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Wow. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, and they pay you. That's the most important part, other than the calorie loss. The calorie loss and the payment, that's the two important parts.
Wait, so that
doesn't that make your blood like thicker or something? Because like I guess you just make more plasma,
The plasma gets recuperated really, really quickly. So you're allowed to do this like twice a week, every week. So it only takes you like 48 hours to rebuild the plasma. So it doesn't do anything.
What do they do with the plasma? Like, I know that they need blood for like operations and ERs and stuff like that. But what do they use plasma for?
They sell it to pharmaceutical companies to do experiments with for different drug testing purposes.
Interesting.
That's fascinating.
They sell it for a lot of money. Like if you could sell, they take, if you're above like 175 pounds, they take 880 milliliters. And if you could sell that to a pharmaceutical company, they'd buy it for like $1,000 to $1,500. So they sell it for a lot of money, and they give you like $50 to $100, like 10%, which is ridiculous. But
wow.
For how much? For 800 milliliters, you said?
Yeah. 880 milliliters or whatever. I think that's right. It's like about a, 4 cups ish.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's intense. Fuck, man, Dean, we've been doing this all wrong.
Right?
Fuck. Man. I could give gallons of blood. I'm a big fucking fat guy. And be like, just fucking take it all, bitch.
I don't think they'll take mine. I tried to give blood, they wouldn't take it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that's cuz you're from South Africa. That's got nothing to do with anything else.
Oh, yeah, my spicy blood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're completely self-taught, Tom. That's amazing. That's even more impressive. Like the fact that you're able to really hold your own in these arguments is, wow, that's incredibly impressive. That's incredibly impressive.
Well, thank you, but I wouldn't necessarily say I'm self-taught, because most of my education comes from conversations with professors. How I got started before YouTube was I would invite out professors to go to coffee and have conversations about these topics. And so I really learned from having these conversations with professors, which is how I got so good at it. So Right. Really my education came from one-on-ones with professors rather than classes or self-taught.
That's pretty interesting. So we had a guy on the podcast probably a year or so ago now. His name's Dr. Chris Gadsden, and he's a adjunct philosophy professor at the I think it's Missouri State University. I may be getting a school wrong. You can look him up on. I'll send you his.
I think I've had him on my channel. I think we've had a conversation.
Yeah. So I originally found him because he was having a conversation with Cameron Bertuzzi, and the whole thing was Cameron had Chris on, and the two of them were going to talk about what atheism is, and so I quoted on the thing saying, "Oh, this should be fun. Two Christians talking about atheism." And I watched it, and then I reached out to him on Twitter, and we had a great conversation. He came on, and he does this YouTube series called Thinking Outside, where he literally just either walks with like a GoPro on a stick or like mounted to his bike, and he goes for a ride, and he just talks about something having to do with philosophy. And he breaks into little like 5, 8, 10-minute chunks, really easy to digest. He's a Christian, but I don't hold that against him too much. But he's really down to earth and easy to talk to. It wouldn't surprise me if you had a conversation with him because he's a super, super cool guy. So we talked just before we hit the record button about where you are. I won't share where you are if you don't want me to.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Everyone should probably know that.
There you are. So tell us about how you were raised, like Christian, atheist, whatever.
Yeah, I was raised Christian. My parents were both Christian. I went to Catholic schools through grade school and high school. So I had extremely religious upbringing. And my parents, my mom especially, is really, really religious. All my family members, direct family members, are still religious today. I'm the only atheist other than like distant family members from Texas. I was raised extremely religious. Read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. Not very fun.
Yeah. That's interesting, though. And so what was it
why didn't it stick?
Yeah, why didn't it stick? Yeah.
Well, I had major depression my entire life. I was diagnosed that I supposedly have had it since I was about 5 years old. And so I was praying every day, morning and night, for help from the invisible sky daddy who was supposedly all-powerful and all-loving and cared about you more than anything in the world. And I had lots of people, my family and close, a few friends I had at the time, praying for me in the same way. And all of those prayers just accomplished nothing. They did nothing for me ever. There was no improvement, no help in any way from God. So you just eventually, it felt like just praying to a carton of milk. Like apparently I thought the milk was conscious and was going to do something, but no, it's just a carton of milk. Doesn't do anything. And so after those millions and millions of thoughts and prayers just piled up into an empty truck of nothingness, I kind of lost my ability to believe there was a God, because there was no help there. And you'd expect if there was this all-loving being who cared about you more than anything and cared about your suffering and could just snap his fingers and make your suffering go away and give you what you need to have happiness in life. If he's not going to do it, either he's not there or he's a dick. So Right. Either way, not really worth believing.
Is that why, because I've heard people ask you kind of, you know, what's one of the biggest reasons you don't believe in God? And I've heard you say a few times the problem of evil and suffering. Is that you think maybe that's why, because of that degree of personal experience?
Well, yeah, there's two parts to it. One is, what is my personal reason for not believing? It's definitely my personal experience. The fact that I didn't get the help I needed to find value and joy in life, which would definitely be a part of the problem of suffering. But then why, what are the best arguments against the existence of God? That's a separate issue. Like, the philosophy isn't why I don't believe. I don't believe because none of my prayers were answered. If my prayers were answered, I'd still believe, be a Christian for sure, even regardless of all the philosophy.
Yep.
So people usually ask me, well, what are the reasons for not believing in a God, or what are the reasons against the existence of a God? I'll give the philosophical reasons because those apply objectively independent of personal experience. But my personal reasons for not believing have nothing to do with the philosophy. It's all about never having a personal relationship, never having my prayers be answered, not having any alleviation from my suffering. Those kinds of things are all the reasons I don't believe.
Well, since you have stopped believing, have any of those things gotten better?
Nope, not really.
That's unfortunate.
Well, hopefully you have a, hopefully you can be engaged in a therapeutic relationship that they can give you some kind of help. Either that or smoke a lot of weed, I'm not sure.
Try both of those things. Not really. not really effective for me. For me, Vegas strippers is the most effective thing.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. So when
I agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. When here's a story my wife won't want to hear, so she'll never listen to this episode. My friends took me to Vegas for my bachelor party 15 years ago, and we went to this place called the Sapphire, which is just off the
classy.
Yeah, it kind of just off the strip, and it was
no pun intended.
Yeah, just off the main strip in Vegas, and it was interesting. It was I had never been to a strip club before that had a $50 US cover charge just to get in the door.
Well, they all do now. Like, there's about six of them. They all have that. You got to pay like $20 to get in the door, and then buy at least two drinks, which is like another $20.
Wow. Yeah. No, this was 50 to get in the door. And then there was just a one drink minimum. And I don't, everybody hears this knows I don't drink. The only time I drink is when we go down south. So, but they still want, $8 for your Diet Coke, regardless of what you're drinking. So, okay. So how was it with your family when you came out, so to speak?
Pretty much no difference. Because at that point I had pretty much split from like ever talking to my family at all. Years before I became an atheist. So we really didn't talk much at that point. So it wasn't really much of a difference in our relationship.
Hmm. And family and stuff? Same, like the rest of your family? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, like all of my, in Minnesota, I only have my parents and my sister who lived here at the time. And then everyone else lived in Texas. So those are the only people I had related to me in the Minnesota, in the state area. My parents moved away 6 or 7 years ago.
And no more contact? Not really, or?
Not really, just when they come back for visiting for whatever, holidays or whatever.
Oh, okay. And they drag you to church?
or
they
try
to?
No.
Or they try to?
In grade school and early high school, you had to go to church as a part of the school thing, but other than that, no.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife went to Catholic high school, and she says that she, didn't like the religious aspect, and she's an atheist now. But she said that she did appreciate the quality of education. She said that she felt she got a good quality of education. Did you feel this? Do you feel the same? Like, do you feel you got a decent quality education?
I'm not sure because I was asleep the whole time, so I can't really tell you. It could have been. It might have been like the greatest education ever. I don't know.
You weren't as active a participant.
Oh no, I was literally sleeping in like every single class to try and just avoid any kind of social interaction or just being there at all. So I had like a 1.8 GPA or something. I did the exact minimum work required to just graduate. I actually did it so well that I had, in my senior year, I had like 3 or 4 classes I didn't need to take because I had all the credits I needed, but they wouldn't let me drop the courses because you're not supposed to have like 3 or 4 free periods.
Right.
So I had to just show up to those classes. Just I brought a pillow and just slept in those classes. I got a 0 in every
you
single.
You brought room. A pillow.
Yeah, I brought a pillow.
That's awesome.
Some of my people, because they have these like group programs where you're supposed to work with a group to do homework and stuff. I'm like, nah. They put me in a group and they just all hate me because I just be sitting there sleeping on my pillow the entire time.
Wow.
So you're well rested in high school.
That's yes, right. Very, very well rested.
You could be a night owl. It's like, well, I slept all day. Let's party.
Video games. It's all video games. Go home, play video games.
Okay, so then,
will keep you up though. That's for sure.
Right. So then, this raises the question: PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Understood. Understood. So, do you have all the current market consoles?
No, I kind of dropped doing much video games recently. I've been trying to fix my social life. That's been like since my life goal for the past decade or so. I was trying to overcome all of my depression stuff and been working towards that. So I haven't spent as much time playing video games. I used to have all the major consoles, Xbox, PlayStation 3, and the Wii.
Right.
But the only ones I have right now are the PlayStation 4 and PC. Those are the only two I really have.
Okay.
What about Twitch? Are you on there a lot? Or?
I use Twitch, but just for my debates and stuff normally.
Okay.
Okay.
Steam, you download games on Steam and stuff like that?
Oh, no, I buy the disc. It's so much cheaper because you can you go to GameStop, you buy the disc, you bring it back in a week, you get $30 to $40 back.
Oh, yeah. Steam always has really good deals going on. But anyway.
So what put you, so what led you to YouTube? and subjecting yourself to what YouTube can be sometimes.
Oh, well, I didn't want to work at McDonald's. That's the main reason. It was when I started doing the conversations with professors that I mentioned earlier, I would record them so that I could go back and listen to the conversations, because I couldn't remember everything in the conversation, obviously, over like a 2-hour cup of coffee. Like, you only remember highlights for the most part. And so I would record them and rewatch them. And I started uploading them to YouTube because I didn't want to save them on my hard drive. I'm just way too lazy for that. And I got a decent following from just doing that. That's how I started my YouTube channel. It's just started making money. I'm like, oh, I can do this professionally. All right. Money. Yay.
Well, that's cool. And how long did it take you to build up a head of steam?
Probably about a year, maybe, because for the first year, I only published like 6 videos, like one a month or something like that, one every 2 months. So I didn't really take it very seriously. And after, I think, Doug Pine Creek, he presented one of my videos to his audience, like showed me off. And I got like more subs in that one day than any other day I've ever had in my YouTube career. So that was like the biggest jump for me, was when Doug presented me to his audience. And then after that, I grew pretty steadily and started to take it more seriously and do videos every week or so. And that's when I pretty much took off, I guess.
Well, that's good. And how many subscribers do you have now?
About 4,400-ish.
Oh, okay. And you're able to, between your plasma and YouTube, make a living?
Yeah, I get lots and lots of donations. That's essentially all my income comes from donations.
Well, okay. We'll make sure that we get links in the description for all those things. And we'll talk about
Patreon. Is doing a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah.
PayPal is actually better for me. I get about as much from Patreon as I do from YouTube, or about half as much, actually. Yeah, because I got a big bump in YouTube recently. So I get about twice as much on YouTube as I get from Patreon, and I get about twice as much on PayPal as I get from YouTube.
Oh, wow, nice.
Well, that scales nicely. So you and I have both had the, let's call it pleasure of speaking with Darth Dawkins. And what's interesting, I remember hearing you once on a video saying that you wanted to talk, like you wanted every day, like you wanted to talk to Darth Dawkins every day. Like it was just the best thing you'd ever experienced in your life. And I wanted to reach through the computer and punch him in the face. he is, I thought, and it's interesting. So here's an interesting question. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. Who do you find more condescending, Darth Dawkins or John Maddox?
I don't know exactly. I'd say Steve McRae is the worst. He's the worst of everyone, but
you think Steve McRae is condescending?
Oh yeah. Steve McRae is literally the worst. He is terrible. He's a terrible human being, but that's a different topic. The theist guys like Darth Dawkins and Maddox and, Standing for Truth and those kinds of guys, they're not that bad to talk to. Like they're just, it's kind of like that scene in the Matrix right at the end where Neo was like fighting the Agent Smith, and he's just doing it with one hand. It's like, oh, this is kind of a joke. That's kind of how I feel about Darth Dawkins and John Maddox. Like, the more that the condescending they are, the more funny it is, and the more easy it is for me to just debunk them and make myself look good. So I love talking to them because it has great entertainment value. I get tons of views from those conversations and tons of donations. So I love those guys because they get me lots of money. Oh, the conversation itself, like, doesn't bother me at all. It's just child's play for the most part.
Yeah, it's funny. I did appreciate the way you handled Darth, and it was interesting because when I watched one of the discussions you had with him before I had my discussion with him on Modern Day Debate, and I took a line. I'll tell you everybody. I think I may have mentioned this before, but I took a line right out of your book when he said, you know, what's your final authority, or whatever he uses as his, or what's your ultimate?
Yeah.
And
he uses a whole bunch of gibberish language. Like, what is your ultimate authority of everything? What is the single monad of the universe? All this kind of gibberish language.
And when I said reality, he stumbled a little bit in what he said. And he didn't reference you. He's like, he didn't say something. Like, I almost expect him to say, oh, you know, who am I talking to? You or am I talking to T-Jump? Because it was perfect. Because when I watched the video that you had with him, and when I sat and I thought about it a little bit, I'm like, well, yeah, well, at the end of the day, it is like, that's what, and, but he always wants to break it down more than that. He's, you know, it's like, you know, is it, you know, it's like, is it, you know, is it a single set or is it a, you know, a many set? And I'm like, it's just reality. It's everything that there is. It's reality, and a bunch of stuff is inside it, you know, all the stuff that we have, and he didn't like that. So thanks for thanks for that. Okay, so I feel like we almost just touched on this, but who's the, you've done a good number of tag team debates, but if you think about your tag team debates, who have you most enjoyed working with, but also who's been your favorite interlocutor?
Who have I most enjoyed working with? Probably Matt Delonte. He's just the easiest because I can just let him go on and just attack them, and like I can just cheer in the background. Lots, very easy to tag team with Matt Delonte. Who is my most enjoyable interlocutor? I think Pete Enns, maybe. I mean, I really agree with Pete Enns, and I had a recent conversation with Reverend Professor or something, I forget his name now, but he was really enjoyable. Those kinds of guys.
Was that the British guy you were talking to? Yeah, that was a good conversation. I don't remember his name either, but that was a good conversation.
Yeah, those kind of guys who they take more of a fideistic approach and acknowledge that the arguments don't really work. And I can just pretty much agree with everything they're saying. They pretty much just say, well, the reason to believe is from personal experience and revelation from the Bible, but none of the arguments work. And I'm like, okay, I can agree with all of that. I'm happy with that because my entire goal of my channel is just to show that bad philosophy and bad arguments don't work and we should just get rid of them. And so if they're just willing to grant that all of the philosophical arguments for God just don't work, I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. We're on the same page.
Yeah. I think it was, Aaron Ra who said in his book that every argument for God is a logical fallacy. Would you agree with that?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know because there's some that are just silly, like the ontological argument, the greatest possible being is one that exists rather than imaginary, therefore God exists.
Right, yeah. And yeah, the Anselm thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be a fallacious argument or not, but most of the science-y arguments are definitely fallacious. They're all just gods of the gaps where science can't explain X, we can make up an explanation for X, therefore our explanation is true. So it's definitely an argument from ignorance or an argument from incredulity, god of the gaps fallacy, most of them are. But there are some that are definitely not, like the contingency argument, saying that whatever begins to exist has a cause, the universe or all the contingent things began to exist, therefore they have a cause. That's perfectly reasonable. Like, I'm happy to grant that. It doesn't say anything about a mind.
Yeah,
it must be some necessary foundation to the universe. I absolutely agree with that. But it doesn't need to be a god in any way. This could be just nature, reality, some undiscovered law, lots of natural explanations for that. So that one I wouldn't say is fallacious. But most of them definitely are.
Yeah, it's funny. I like taking pot shots at Cameron Vitozzi a lot, and he loves Kalam. Like, he's got a serious hard on for Kalam, and I very much agree with you as well. Like, you know, I concede that whatever begins to exist has a cause, with the exception of a few people like Sean Carroll. Pretty much the consensus is that the universe began to exist, so therefore the universe had to have a cause. And I don't have a problem with that. And what I've said pokingly to Cameron and to other people is, how did you determine that cause wasn't natural? You know, like how did you come up with, and it, you know, and that's, and a lot of times that's where the fallacies then come into play.
Or even a lot of people say that.
Just to disagree a little bit. So Sean Carroll does agree that the universe came into existence. All physicists agree that the universe began to exist, but the universe just means our universe, our space-time bubble in reality. But the multiverse or the cosmos didn't. That's where the philosophical usage of universe and the physics usage of universe don't work, because theists always want to use it in the philosophical sense to mean literally everything that is just material had a beginning, which is not what it means. So when our universe, when we say that the universe had a beginning, it only means our universe, just our space-time in general relativity, not all natural things.
Right, because there's that argument about, you know, 1 second equaling infinity at t equals zero. So that there could have been this thing, whatever this thing was, that just sat there you know, like, like Lawrence Krauss has described it, you know, as a bubble in soda, you know, stuff like that. Is that kind of what you mean?
Sort of, but that again, that only applies to our space-time. So right. Time in the context of the singularity hypothesis, which essentially not many people really accept the singularity hypothesis because the Hawking-Hartle model, which is the what presented the singularity hypothesis, kind of was debunked by Hawking a little bit later and showed that it doesn't really work in the same way as he predicted it would. So the hypothesis is that in the singularity model, all of our time compressed into an infinitely small, dense space. But again, that says nothing about what was outside of that, the multiverse, the cosmos, as Carl Sagan put it. All of that could have a separate kind of time independent of ours. And so our universe having a finite beginning really doesn't tell us anything about the larger concept of reality.
Okay. How much does it frustrate you when theists talk about God existing outside of time and space?
Not as much anymore, because my main strategy in debating theists is to just mirror their own argument. So the more ridiculous their argument, the easier it is to just use it to support an alternative hypothesis. So if they want to say something like, God is outside of space and time, I can say, all right, naturalistic pantheism is outside of space and time. Victory is mine. All right, if you want to go crazy, I can just go crazier. We're fine.
Right. Yeah, I've heard you using a lot of naturalistic pantheism more of late. Where that's been kind of your go-to thing to toss in against, you know, whoever you happen to be talking to. And it has been entertaining to watch, you know, in some cases, like not, obviously not literally, but watch that little vein in their foreheads, you know, just start to tweak just a little bit. Okay. So we kind of, touched on a few things here. What have you got coming up? Like what's up and coming for you?
I think I have like 6 or 7 conversations planned. I have something set up with a religious naturalist so that she thinks that God is natural and there is no supernatural. She rejects the idea of the supernatural. But she's still a theist, so she still thinks that the Christian God is true. That one's going to be interesting to try and understand her perception on what natural means as opposed to supernatural. Because what I use them to mean is natural is unguided natural processes, like in the context of evolution, where it's just no mind guides it, just natural laws doing all the work. And supernatural I use to mean a non-physical mind doing stuff. So like a god or a spirits or ghosts or leprechauns or whatever.
If she's saying not supernatural, I mean, how does a Christian God be anything but supernatural?
That's weird.
It can't be tested by any of the natural laws or scientific naturalism or anything like that.
Well, that's the question: is that in philosophy, the term natural and supernatural aren't defined. There's no like a formal definition of what it means to be natural or what it means to be supernatural, and so what those mean are is kind of up in the air. So most people class them as two different kinds of ontological categories. One is natural, which is usually meant as material physicalist stuff, and just that's it. But if you just take natural to mean all of the stuff that exists in reality, well, then if God existed, he would be natural too. So the argument that the religious naturalist is making is that this idea of supernatural and trying to argue for this extra ontological category is unnecessary. You don't need that. God can still be natural and have everything be fine, even if we just don't know about him yet. So I think that's the argument she's probably going to take, is that supernatural just isn't a well-defined term, and so it doesn't mean anything.
I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what to do with that. Hey, look, something real interesting. What the fuck is going on with your government?
Orange man bad.
Yeah, orange man bad. Happy to see Joe Biden's VP pick?
Like, I hate all politicians. So I think the Democrats are stupid, and I think the Republicans are stupid, and I think the independents are stupid. So I'm not happy to see any of them. I think they're all garbage.
Oh, okay.
But from a strategic standpoint, I think that Kamala Harris is probably a bad choice. Like, I think that the goal of the VP pick should be to appease the swing vote Republicans. You want to get somebody who the Republicans, if they hate Trump enough, will vote for you and won't be turned off by your VP pick to go back to Trump. And so because you pick an African-American woman, which are just big red flags for anybody in the red party.
Sure.
Yeah. That's probably not a great choice to try and get the swing vote. Whereas I think even Bernie Sanders would probably have gotten more of a swing vote than Kamala Harris. So I think that's a really risky choice. He's going hardcore social justice route, and I don't know if that's good, a good political strategy.
Yeah, I'm like, I think we, the collective we, Canada, is scared. We don't know what the fuck's going on from one day to the next with you guys. You know, the royal you. So, yeah, what about how are things where you are as far as COVID goes? How has Minneapolis been?
Yeah, Minnesota's really strict on the policy. So we had bars and stuff shut down a lot earlier and a lot longer than other places like Texas, who reopened them and then reclosed them.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot stricter rules on COVID. It never really affected me. I think I got it before the shutdown even started. I got it because I go out to social stuff as much as possible to try and improve my social life. So I get it all, but got it pretty early and wasn't very affected. So it didn't really, doesn't bother me at all. I think the riots were more of a kind of a disjointing factor in the city than COVID was for the most part, because most people are pretty left-leaning here. And so we take essentially the same policy and actions that like Norway and Denmark did, and had social distancing for the whole time. And most people were pretty strict about their not being within 6 feet kind of a thing. So it was never really a big issue here for the most part. But yeah, the riots definitely caused a big uproar socially.
Where are you geographically in conjunction to where those riots were?
I'm about 30, 40 blocks south of where the precinct was burned down.
Oh, wow.
That's still pretty close. That's still pretty close. Wow. Yeah, so that it was interesting having seen that. I mean, when what we saw, like there certainly were George Floyd support riots. That we didn't have riots, we had gatherings.
Yeah, I can just imagine the Canadian riot, like, oh, you guys are so terrible. I'm sorry. Let me not break your window there. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Let me push you.
Yeah, the closest we ever had to a riot was during the G20. A few years back, where
yeah, I got a few arrests.
Yeah, where there were some arrests and some shit disturbers came in, but it was really only the shit disturbers. Like the arrests that they made weren't. They found out that they weren't locals. Like these were people who came in with an agenda to try to fuck shit up.
What were they protesting at the G20 summit?
They were trying to make basically well. The shit disturbers were just there to fuck shit up. The rest of the public was talking about, you know, the fact that that these leaders were here and that they needed to try, you know, they were pushing for, you know, tougher environmental restrictions and stuff like that. And this is long before Trump. But they're pushing for that kind of stuff. And so it was Toronto's first exposure to all those world leaders all at once. They hadn't had the G20 in Toronto before. So I think, and most of the grassroots organizations for almost anything have a base in Toronto because it's the fourth largest city in North America. So it was just opportunistic, yeah. I think.
Do you think Alberta's going to leave? Going to join the U.S.?
No, no. I mean, it would like no. I think the same thing will happen there that happened with the Quebec referendum back in the late 90s, because Quebec wanted to separate as well, and it was 51-49, you know, and Quebec stayed. You know, they were preaching. You know, tongue in cheek, preaching a distinct society and stuff like that. But I think for the most part, when push comes to shove, Canadians still want to be Canada. And
no Al Brexit.
No, you know, I don't think so. And in fact, you know, I think, you know, Canadians want to be Canada. And I think a lot of Americans want to be Canada too.
Yeah.
Like California.
Especially now, about a little over half of us want to all be Canadians right now.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, we've mentioned a few times, like, man, I got a spare room, and you know, and the bidding starts low. but yeah, it can be.
Want to get your free healthcare?
Yeah, exactly.
Canada's going to build a wall, and America's going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
We need it.
Exactly. Well, we have a massive unprotected border. Like it's like just spans thousands of miles. But the only thing you run the risk of when you cross the border into Canada is someone buying you a Tim Hortons coffee. No one's going to shoot you. Nobody's going to do anything. And he's like, oh, you're from America? Cool. And just, you know, don't shoot us. Let's go have a sandwich. You don't have anything to worry about coming up here. You're perfectly safe.
Yeah, except the cold and the reindeer and those Canucks.
Yeah.
Not much colder here than it is just below the border. Yeah. We're actually further south than parts of Northern California, actually.
Yeah, we were chatting about that earlier, Dean. Before you, this is when your kids were ruining everything. So we were chatting about that stuff. So Tom, we kind of mentioned this, but I want to go into this a little bit more. I want to talk about how people can reach out to you and support you, and how can they get in touch with you when they want to argue with you?
Go through James at Modern Day Debate. Don't call me. Don't text me. Just tell James. You can go bother him at his email, wherever that is. But no, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/tjump. I've got all my social links and Patreon, PayPal support links on there. That would be great. That's usually the best way to contact me. I also have my business email on there. It's also posted on all my Discord stuff. That would be the best way to contact me. And if you want to debate, you can just send me an email. I usually, if anybody, random people want to debate, it's like, hey, give me $50 or charge me for my time. I'm happy to debate anything you want. Go for it.
Right.
That's actually worked out pretty well for me. Other things, like if you find me a super hot blonde girlfriend, that'd be great. Just, I'll owe you forever. That'd be great. Especially if she's like Las Vegas stripper. Just saying.
Las Vegas stripper. Right. Yeah. There's a shortage of Las Vegas strippers in Toronto. And there's a bigger shortage of Las Vegas strippers in Whitby, where we are, which is about.
Hey, well, if you want to talk about blonde strippers in Toronto, there's plenty of those.
Are there really?
Yeah.
How would you know? You're a married man.
Well, back in the day when I used to frequent such disreputable places, right, there are quite a few attractive female in that line of work in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I went to a strip club. Well, the last time I went was in Vegas, and the time before that, I think I have selective memory loss.
Literally the last time I've been was at my bachelor party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right.
So like, you bring your wives on a date. Let's go to the strip club.
Yeah,
we tried to get that going. It never happened.
Yeah, well, we both know each other's wives very well.
Yes,
and that would not go. That would not go. No, and
well, before Meredith knew who she was or what she wanted, she was willing to entertain the idea, but it never happened.
Really. Yeah. I'm pretty sure
that was back in the day when she thought that she had to do, like, she thought her job was to do whatever I wanted to do.
Who talked her out of that?
she did herself.
Meredith, if you listen, I love you. Yeah. Shannon would just cut my fucking nuts off if I something like that. She'd kill me. And she's kept me in the lifestyle to which I've become accustomed, so I have to be careful. Yeah, Tom.
Oh, so that's how you're independently wealthy. Oh, you fox.
That's right. Marry well.
Yeah, he's not independently wealthy. His wife is buying his lifestyle. Yeah.
Marry well and have a big wee wee. That's it. That's it. That's all you need. Okay. Well, this has been fun. So everybody listening to this, I want to make sure you all, as soon as you hit the stop button for this, go to, I'll put a link for Tom's YouTube, because it seems like that's where you can find everything about him, but I'll put a link in there for sure. But go to youtube.com/tjump and support. And honestly, when you click on the video, when you click on the videos tab, you will see a plethora of discussions, and you'll find a lot also on Modern Day Debate, but check them out on Tom's channel first. And Tom, thanks so much for coming by and entertaining at least one really foul-mouthed Canadian and his reasonable friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the invite. It was fun talking with you guys.
Yeah, and
thanks for coming.
Yeah, maybe you and I can team up one day against don't know who would be good. Who would be good? maybe Darth and Smokey. There you go.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
That could be interesting. So, all right, I guess that's enough trouble for us to get into for this week. We'll hit the stop button and then we'll say a proper goodbye once that's done. But yeah, that's we're a little bit short today, but I think that's mostly Dean's fault. we'll be back at you again hopefully next week with another episode. Did I say what episode this is, Dean?
I don't think you did.
This is episode
116, you said?
Yeah, episode 116. So, what can I say that we've got coming up? August 28th, Aaron Ra's coming back on.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. I'm going to chat with him about a bunch of stuff. And he said he's got, I don't want to share because we chatted a little bit on Facebook Messenger, and he's going to talk about a couple of quote unquote bombshells.
Cool.
Good things going on with him. But enough about that for now. Until next time, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
I have been T-Jump and Groot.
There you go. There you go. And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.